few months ago, I was doing a program, and a woman in the audience asked me a question. She said, okay, I understand what you're saying. Why prayer? Why would we ever choose prayer? What good is prayer really in our world? What if we don't have prayer in our world? I'd never been asked that question before, and I thought about it for a moment. And this, again, was one of those times when I really had no idea of what was about to come out of my mouth, and I opened my mouth to speak, and these words tumbled out, and what the words said was that prayer is to our quality of life as water is to the seed of a plant. And after I'd said that, I stepped back and I thought about what I just said. And I said, wow, I like that. Now, what does it mean? Prayer is to our quality of life as water is to the seed of a plant. The seed of a plant is whole and complete unto itself, and it may exist in that form as a seed unchanged for thousands of years. We're now recovering seeds in earthen vessels from Egypt and the high Andes in Peru, and those seeds are still intact. Some of them will still germinate, and they're still a seed. In the presence of water, however, the seed is allowed to blossom to its greatest expression, the greatest potential of its life. And I believe that is true of prayer to us. We may exist, and we may walk through this waking dream that we call life in the presence of one another, day in and day out, for a thousand generations. And we are whole and complete and intact and enabled unto ourselves. And in the presence of prayer, the communion between us and the creative forces of our world, our bodies and one another, we then have the opportunity to blossom to our fullest expression, the greatest potential of what it means to be human. And that was the answer to her question. This is the value of prayer in general, specifically at this time in human and earth history, as we are on the threshold of this great change that is referenced by so many, and also the subject of a lot of controversy by so many. Whatever it is that we're about to experience, whatever it is that's about to happen in our world, we are better suited to address the great challenges of our world as our most realized possibility. And I believe that's what prayer offers for us. Well, in our world today, our Western world, we have been conditioned in the last 1700 years to see ourselves as separate from the circuitry, if you will. If you view our world as an electrical circuit of living components that all work with one another to create the reality that we know, we've been conditioned to believe that we are separate from that, to view ourselves as separate and distinct from this circuit. What prayer allows us to do, it invites us to view ourselves, rather than being separate, as a component. We are part of our world. And this is so powerfully important. And the Essenes were masters at conveying this understanding. We watch the Nature Channel sometimes, or Discovery on television, and we'll see documentaries of researchers that go in to observe portions of the earth or to witness populations of animals. And that's our thinking, is that we're observing and we're witnessing. The reality is that we are participating in. We are earth. We're not just part of the earth. We are earth. Our bodies are earth. The minerals, the water, the light, the air of this world is what our bodies are made out of. And we are a part of all that we see. Every choice that we make in every moment of life has some influence on the world around us, sometimes to a greater extent, sometimes to a lesser extent. And that's the value of the holographic model. In 1947, there was a brilliant researcher, actually a Renaissance man. He was a musician, a painter, a philosopher, an author, an artist, and a scientist. His name was Dr. Hans Jenny, J-E-N-N-Y. In 1947, Dr. Hans Jenny developed the apparatus that allowed us for the first time to witness the relationship between vibration and form. In his laboratory, under laboratory conditions, Dr. Jenny would take different materials. Sometimes they were liquid, sometimes they were powders. He'd project vibration into them. He would create vibratory sequences, and he's projected them into his equipment. He could actually see the pattern, see the geometry from the vibration. Sometimes they were audible, sometimes they weren't, and they were all vibrations. And what he found was essentially this, that at lower frequencies, the patterns are very simple. And as the frequencies increase, the patterns became more complex. And that was the essence of what came from those studies, the many things he determined. The lower the vibration, the lower the frequency, the simpler the patterns, the higher the frequency, the more complex. Well, now what we know is that thought, feeling, and emotion are vibration. And as we have lower frequencies of thought, feeling, and emotion, our patterns are simple. As we have higher frequencies of thought, feeling, and emotion, our patterns are more complex. The more complex they are, the more opportunities those vibratory patterns have to influence the world within us and the world around us. Well, high frequency patterns from thought, feeling, and emotion are what we consider through the words love, compassion, peace, forgiveness. Those are considered higher vibratory patterns. Lower vibratory patterns, anger, rage, hate, jealousy, fear, all aspects of fear. So as they wander through the ancient traditions, we're invited to embrace these higher vibratory qualities in our lives. Now, they didn't have the words to describe. They didn't know about Dr. Hans Jenny's vibratory apparatus and the science known as cymatics. They didn't know about maybe frequencies and waveforms. They shared with us in the only words of their time that our greatest attributes are drawn from deep within us through our expressions, compassion, love, peace, forgiveness. And now we've simply rediscovered that, redefined it through our own science in a language that we're comfortable with.